lost a little bit of respect for your pastor for having me back. But we're here now, so we'll have to move forward. I knew just what to do recently when I was stopped by a train. I'm not stopped by many trains anymore. It seemed to happen all the time when I was young. But I knew just what to do. I counted the cars. My father worked for the railroad. His father did. His father did. And there was a rule in the family, really a law in the family, that you don't complain when you're stopped by a train. You count the cars and you give thanks. Because those cars, and used a phrase I hear rarely anymore, but I used to hear it a lot, those cars put the shoes on your feet. If the brakes on one of those boxcars fails, it's my fault. There was a time when my father was responsible for the brakes on all the boxcars in Southern Railway. And he was proud of it. He was reflecting on and speaking out of the arena in which he spent most of his life. It's where he worked. Most of his energies were expended, not at church, not on a mission trip, not in a spiritual retreat. He was thinking about the matters and responsibilities that fell to him at work. Is that okay? Is that a good thing? Did all of that time, all that expenditure of energy, all of that concern matter? Did it matter to God? God has something to say to us about that. And I think as we look for God's word about that arena where most people in the world, for most of their lives, spend out their lives, we need to look first not at that place where we work, but we need to look back to God's creation. And look back to God's carving out of a space and time where we don't work. We don't do our work. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in Genesis 2, verse 1. So the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. By the seventh day, God completed His work that He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy. Not perfect, it was perfect. But He wasn't declaring it perfect. He was declaring it set apart, special. Not like other days. Why was it not like other days? For on it He rested from His work of creation. Man's been created, but he's not being talked about here directly. But because God rested from His work, our lives have been ordered and shaped by God. In fact, God ceased from His work of creation for us. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember to dedicate the Sabbath day. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any of your work. Why? For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them in 6 days, and He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it set apart, special, and in that sense, holy. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, be careful to dedicate the Sabbath day as the Lord your God has commanded you. Why? A different reason is given now. The first reason was because God stopped from His creation. But now there's a different reason, an added reason, for human beings to stop their work. Verse 15. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath. What does that have to do with us? That's Old Testament. You know, one of the earliest heresies was launched by a man who at one time probably commanded the attention of more than half the church. His name was Marcion. And I bet a lot of us have got a lot in common with Marcion. He didn't like the Old Testament. All that wrath, killing, punishment, law. Give me the New Testament. The blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus of Hollywood fame who seems to be on mescaline and talking to birds. But when you go to the New Testament, He's not like that at all. He brings up hell more than anybody. He calls people names, snakes, vipers. You just would stop inviting him to the barbecues, or at least you would make inquiries. You would, what kind of, is he healing today? Okay, come on. But if he's in a teaching mood, no. We're not listening to that again. Listen to this from Hebrews chapter 5. Chapter 4, I'm sorry, verse 9. A Sabbath remains for God's people. It even says in Hebrews, beware, woe unto you, lest you fail to enter into God's Sabbath. God has a special gift, a means that He offers to us and requires of us, happy duties that are fit to order our lives so that they will be the good and wondrous thing He created them to be. He gives to us ritual. Now, the Bible's got a lot of bad things to say about ritual. Mere ritual. Dead ritual. Sometimes God will say, I don't like your feast. We can mangle and distort and misuse and turn into something horrible all the good things that God gives us. And we do. Sex, it's been mangled and distorted. Food, you know, God created food. That was His idea. We're headed for a banquet. Work, it's been distorted. All the good things because of our sins, turn against us. But they're good things. He gives us ritual. There are three great rituals, or two, depending on how you call them, that God commands us into and invites us to embrace. Passover. Never read the Ten Commandments or think of the Ten Commandments by thinking of Commandment 1 first. It's not first. Before we think of any of the commandments, we must hear this. I am the God who brought you up out of Egypt. We'll never hear His law as His law unless we're reminded of who He is. He is Creator and He is Redeemer. I brought you up out of Egypt. Now, listen to what I have to say. They kept the Passover feast. Remember the Passover? And I really mean it. Do you remember the Passover? In two of the passages I've just read, the first word is remember. God's really into remembering. One of His most persistent complaints against His people is that they fail to remember. And in the Bible, God's people are expected to look back to and remember things that occurred before they were born. David does that all the time. He's down. He's depressed. He's fearful. He's angry. He's bitter. And part of the cure is to remember from of old what He said, what He's done. Rituals do that. Sabbath, Passover, the Lord's Supper. Remember the Passover? The death angel's coming. Kill the best of your flock, put the blood over the doorpost. And when the death angel sees the blood, he will pass over. No harm will come to that home. Remember that. Keep the feast. Remember, your whole life is lived in a fog of ignorance and distortion and lies unless you remember that. You look forward to the future as children of the God who passed over you because of the blood. But the blood of those lambs could not really cover our sins. They couldn't make us fit to be the adopted children of God. Only the blood of the spotless Lamb of God could do that. And when He presided over the Passover feast, He inaugurated not a new but a perfected Sabbath. And we're told, do this in remembrance of me. For as often as we share the Lord's Supper, we remember His life, His resurrection. No, He didn't think we would have trouble remembering that, but we remember His death until He comes. Rituals do that. Rituals come into our present and take hold of them and calls us, invite us, allow us to look back and look forward. Not to live in the past. No, we forget what's in the past and move forward. We don't dwell. Paul wasn't going to dwell on the fact that he used to be a murderer of Christians. But we are not to live in a present as though there was no past. There was. And God was there and He said things and He did things that have everything to do with every present moment we experience. The ritual carves out space to look back and to look forward. Remember His death until He comes. And we don't live in the future with false fear or false optimism. The man with the barns whose crops increased and he built, he was not reprimanded for being a successful farmer. He was not reprimanded for building more barns. But he was shown to be delusional when he had that little conversation with himself, and he said to his soul, I've got much laid up. Take your ease. Take comfort. But that was the last. Oh, there's a wrong way. We don't live in the past. We don't live in the future. We live in a present that is bounded by a past that is shot through with meaning and shaping of our lives. And we are headed towards a future that God's claim is upon. We worship a God who makes promises, who's got plans. And we won't live in the present unless we know that. But the older ritual, and the one that encompasses time in a more comprehensive way, it's not Passover, and it's not the Lord's Supper. It's Sabbath. It predates Israel. It predates the church. And the first thing we need to learn or be reminded of is that the Sabbath, the first Sabbath, and really every subsequent Sabbath, it's not our Sabbath. It's God's. He rested from His work that He had done. The first thing we need to nail down today is that the Sabbath is His. In the New Testament, when we look to Hebrews, beware lest you fail to enter into your Sabbath where you rest from the work you've been doing. No, that you fail to enter into His Sabbath. It's His. When we say, as we should, that work was not a punishment for sin because it was in paradise before the fall, we need to be reminded the Sabbath was a rest from God's work, not our work. We weren't tired. We hadn't done anything. He breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of the crowning achievement of His creation. And awakened seems like the wrong word, but we were vivified and placed into this carved out space and time called Sabbath. We weren't tired. We hadn't worked. Why did He do that? Man's first day was a Sabbath. Put there to behold work. Accomplished work. God is the original an ultimate worker. We were placed there to stand in awe of what He had done. What had He done? He created by speaking. Let there be light. Separate the land from the water. Separate the earth from the firmament. And I can't emphasize this enough. When man on his first Sabbath beheld what God had done, the crowning work he beheld was Himself. We're creatures. We were meant to be. We're the result of work done. Why? Why do we start there? So that our lives will be bound by Sabbaths. We're launched from that day, the dazzling spectacle of it all. We can't compete with Him, the worker. But nevertheless, in God's wisdom and mercy and love, there's a place for our work too. We were created in His image. It means that we're His special mirrors. Now the whole universe is fit to point to its maker. Anything that's made reflects and points to its maker. And we do as well. But we're made in His image. Squirrels aren't. The snail darters not. The twin towers weren't. We are. We're fit to reflect why He deserves to be praised. How? How do we do that? We do it by having dominion over the lower forms. Every time I kill a spider, I pat myself on the back. raised any boys afraid of spiders. Get in there and kill those spiders. We're stewards. And we're launched into 6/7 of our life from that Sabbath. That's how God ordered it. No, our job is not to try to carve into that 6/7 and be at church more and do more mission trips and do more retreats. These are all good. Do them. In God's original and sustained design and purpose and will for your life, you're launched into what you're going to do tomorrow. Capable of reflecting His glory in the work you do because of this carved out time when you remember and are awestruck and look forward, and now you enter into your time of work, what you do as a steward, as having dominion, not a creator, but as one who exerts Himself in love and service and usefulness in this world. This is how God meant for it to be. We start with the Sabbath to be dazzled with God and also for God to stake His claim on what comes afterwards, the next day and the next day and the next day, till we come around the Sabbath again, and we also see that all of history is bounded by His Sabbath at the beginning and then a Sabbath at the end. And in that Sabbath at the end, there is going to be something new. In the first Sabbath, there was much to behold. His work of creation, including ourselves. But in the last Sabbath, there's going to be something else, something new, something that could not have been beheld in the first Sabbath. It's the completed work of redemption. Those wounds yet visible above. A Sabbath. It's really not about resting up from being tired. It's about ceasing one activity for the sake of another activity so that you can go back to that activity in the right way. It's His, your work. It's precious to Him. He's pleased by it. I worked in the cotton mill, so I'm a lint head. One subject dominated conversation at the cotton mill. Retirement. Not heaven. Retirement. Except for two women in the weave room. You know, the weave room is the most important room. The thread comes in there and it goes out as cloth. This is the room you see on the movie Norma Rae with Sally Field. The weave room. There's two women in there, two weavers. Everybody knew they were Christians. They didn't talk about retirement all the time. I bet they looked forward to their retirement. Their faces shone. We could tell they had been with the Lord. We could tell. They would talk about Jesus. They didn't talk about Jesus all the time. We all knew they were Christians. Everything they did. And whatever you do, the Bible says, do it with all your might as unto the Lord. Why? Because it is as unto the Lord. All of our lives, even when we forget it, are lived coram Deo, before God, before His face, His sight. And therefore, everything we do, in every thought we have, every feeling that crops up in us, every exertion of our energies, in everything in life, we have negotium cum Deo. We have business with God because His claim is on it all. The product of that meal was mainly canvas work gloves. I've got two pairs in my garage. Whenever I put them on, I think two things. My wife would never put her hand in those gloves without bringing it to me first and telling me to make sure there aren't any spiders in it. And then I think about the work I did at the mill. I look at the pattern of the threads there. This is our work. Your work. 6 days. The bulk of what God expects from you and created from you and me is that we'll do our work. From the stay-at-home mom to the secretary to the CEO. What we're doing matters to God. It was created by Him. It was intended by Him. God has staked His claim on that time. Let us acknowledge it, embrace it, do it with all our might as unto the Lord, and offer it to Him in gratitude that through His grace we are fit through all of our work to reflect the worker. Let's pray. We stand in awe at what You have made and what You have made us to be and what we actually are in You. Thank You for Your holy word to remind us and teach us what's true and so disabuse us of any thought that any part of our lives is without meaning or futile in Your sight. And so let us work till Jesus comes. In His name we pray. Amen.